And everyone else, let's get our Bibles out as we prepare for our message today. You know, I would be amiss if I didn't talk a little bit about what just happened on Friday. I'm sure that everyone in the whole world probably knows what happened on Friday. Does everybody know what happened on Friday? Horrific, right? Horrific. Horrific. And it's amazing how many just felt sick in your stomach and you kept reading it. Can you imagine what those parents must feel? It's beyond what we can fathom, right? Beyond what we can fathom. It's an amazing thing that I was, I was bringing two services on Friday when this was transpiring. And we were having our lunch break and I was sitting around a table with a bunch of professionals and they were talking back and forth about this kind of, about gun control and all this kind of stuff. And one of the persons turned to me, one of my friends said, "Well, Pastor, where's God in all this?" I said, "You know, that's a good question, but in case you don't remember, God's not allowed to be in the school. Remember, he's not allowed in the school. He's not allowed in the school. So you really want to know where God was? You kicked him out." And I just kept eating. And there was like dead silence in that room when I said, "Oh, remember, you kicked him out." Because I know this person's political issues. And I said, "This person, you kicked him out. Remember? Now you want him in or out. Which one do you want?" You know, and I read a story, and I don't want to get into a big thing about this because Bob will pull the plug on me at 25 after no matter what I do. Right arm. I read an article kind of like about gun control, but I kind of want to make an analogy with this. And this article that I read says that most people are like sheep. And we are. Most people are good people. You know, how many millions of people are there in the United States? 300 million. Okay, and of course we hear about one person and it becomes horrific, because it is horrific. Well, not making light of it, because it is. But there were, at least in theory, 299 million people, 999,990 who didn't do it. And so the majority of people are like sheep, right? Gentle, most of the time. You know, most of the time, these 300 million sheep, you know, the only way that somebody gets hurt or killed, unfortunately, is by an accident, some carelessness, and people get hurt, right? So the majority of people are like sheep. And some of the 300 million people who live in the United States are wolves. That makes sense. There are wolves in the world, too. We know that, right? One just walked into the school in Connecticut. So there are wolves in the flock, too. Is that a fair statement? And in that 300 million people, this article said, a really good analogy, is that there are sheepdogs. We have wolves. We have sheep. We have sheepdogs. And the sheepdogs are individuals that they can cross that line if they have to. They can cross that line and hurt somebody if they have to. But the majority of the time, they're not. They're not angry people, they're not vicious people, but they could cross the line if they had to. And so what happens is the sheep do not like the sheepdogs, because the sheep are kind of thinking, well, there aren't that many wolves. And the sheep want the sheepdogs to be just like them. The sheep don't want the sheepdogs carrying guns. And so the sheep tell the sheepdogs, "Why can't you be more like who? Us." And so what the sheep want to do with the sheepdogs is make the sheepdogs sheep. But the interesting thing is, when the wolf comes into the herd, guess where the sheep run to? The sheepdog. The sheepdog, for protection. And those sheepdogs that we have are called police officers and, army personnel. And, they can cross that line. They can cross that line. Help me understand that. They have the potential to cross that line if they have to protect who? The sheep. But the sheep don't like that. The sheep don't like that. The sheep want everybody to be who? Sheep. And they want the fox to be who? The wolf. Sheep. They want everybody to be sheep. Why can't we all get along? But the reality of it is, there are wolves in the herd. True statement? And so, when a sheep learns of a sheepdog that has a weapon, the sheep turn on the sheepdog, not on the wolf. How many understand that? "Well, why do you got that thing?" And because they want them to be sheep. In the same analogy, There are sheep in the world and there are wolves. And we need a shepherd. Because when we have spiritual warfare, of course this man did it, but evil is in the world that made him do this. And unfortunately, what the sheep need is a what? A shepherd. But what did we do with the shepherd? And then the minute something goes wrong, the question, well, where's the shepherd? Are you serious? You kicked him out. How many understand that? You kicked him out. The shepherd's not in the school. He's not allowed to be in the school. He's not allowed to be in the town square. He's not allowed to be in our political arenas while people are getting shot. He's not allowed to be there. And the question you have is, where is he? He's standing at the door, and he's what? Please! No. We'll buzz in the shooter. Think it through. Right? We'll buzz in the shooter, but we're not letting Christ in. And you really wonder why we're so messed up? From Chronicles, oh, if you would only turn from your wicked ways. Right? Turn from your wicked ways, repent, and come back to me. And I will hear you and what? Heal your land. You think any time short we're going to put God back in the schools? Yeah. Town squares? Yes. And down in Elwood City? Sean is supposed to be here today. Down in Elwood City, they have a nativity scene. And two or three or four people, I don't know how many, said, we can't have that nativity scene like we've always had it for 100 years in the town community center. We can't do that. And they fight about it. And this year they got the lawyers and all that kinds of goofiness, right, and costing all that money. So what a guy did, Sissy and I went down, we saw it. A guy said, okay, I'll fix this. He pulls up in a pickup truck, and he has a trailer behind him. And they take the nativity scene and they put it on the trailer and they park it in the street right in front of the town square. Yeah. And the mayor comes by and says, hey, your time's expired. The guy says, no problem. Moves up one space, puts quarters in there. The time runs out, he backs up again. Now, I know it's like really funny, but isn't it sad too? It's okay because it's not like 10 feet over here on the town square. It's okay if it's 10 feet over here in the street. And you wonder why evil abounds? Really? You really need to know that? And so when somebody asks you, born again, Bible thumping, card carrying, scripture quoting, Bible toting, Jesus freaks, where was God? You should say what? Oh, don't you remember? You kicked them out. Right? And guess what? Unfortunately, more of that's coming. More of that's coming. And in the right company, you tell them what I just told you. Oh, we won't let Jesus in, but we'll buzz in the shooter. Right? Enough of that. But let's pray for those kids. Father God, we come to you in unspeakable horror. In sadness that we ourselves feel, but Lord, we can't begin to imagine the pain of these parents and grandparents and siblings and children and spouses of the adults. We can't begin to even pretend to know what that feels like, because we ourselves, which are so disconnected, are sick in our stomachs thinking about it. Lord, we feel helpless because we want to call upon you, but you're not even welcome in there. So Lord, we ask you to make your presence be known in a powerful way to the parents of these children, these little babies that have been brutally massacred, calling a spade what a spade is. Lord, I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like to have been the last child in that room. I can't begin to fathom it. Lord, we long for the days when the worst thing that we could do in a class was chew gum. We long for the day that the worst thing that we could do is not raise our hand before we speak. Lord, unfortunately, we know the answer. We know the answer. And they don't want to hear it. We're talking more about gun control and putting armed police officers. Well, of course, Lord, armed police officers would go a long way, but not as far as Jesus Christ would go. So, Lord, please, Lord, touch these families with the unspeakable joy and the peace of God that surpasses all of the world's understandings, Lord. Lord, it's an amazing thing to this old pastor that people come flocking to you after the crisis. It would have been a great big thing had we had you in there before crisis. And maybe we wouldn't be talking about it today. So, Lord, we lift these things before you. And anything that we could ever do, Lord, let us do it. In your awesome, awesome name, we do pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. All right. We've been talking about Jesus Christ the way. And we've been saying that Jesus Christ is the way. And I had asked you a couple times now, he's the way to what? And most people, other than you disciples in training, would say Jesus Christ is the way to what? Heaven. And that's correct. We know that. And some people will say he's the way to eternal life. That's true. People say that. But hardly anybody will ever say he's a way to this life today. But he is. He is a way to have life and have it how? Abundantly. And people won't tell you that. They won't tell you that. You need to educate them. Yes, he is the way to heaven, but what about before you get there? And you kind of know that poem, I think you do, that little litany of a story about, you know, there's two dates on everybody's tombstone. You've heard that before, right? There's a big poem about that. You know, you have a beginning date and an ending date. Like mine will say May 25th, 1951, and I'll pass away. It'll say May 25th, like, you know, 2051, it'll be 100 years old or something. But what's the most important thing about the date? You all know that, right? What is it? It's the dash. Because the first part of the date is what? The day you took your first breath. And the second date is the day you took what? The last. And that's really kind of insignificant, really. It's what happens in between. And that's the life, right? And Jesus came so that that dash would be bold. An abundant dash. And so you get to say to yourself, well, how's your life? And I've been telling you, he's a way to abundant life. He said, I have come so that you may have joy. And that your joy may be what? Full. I have come so that you may have peace. The peace of God that only I can give you. Right? My peace I leave with you, John 14. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, but I do not give to you as the world gives. That peace. And so what is the problem? And I asked you that before. What's the problem? I mean, if we have X amount of Christians of the 300 million in the United States, what percentage of the 300 million are Christians or would at least say they're Christians? And I know that you know this, and if you do not know this, you ought to know this. When you check into a hospital, they ask you a question about that, don't they? They'll say, do you have a living will? And, you know, do you have a next of kin? And, you know, do you have insurance? You know, how many know that's one of the questions, right? That's the first question, right? And pretty soon they'll say, do you have Obamacare? You know, the questions are coming. But one of the questions that they ask you is, what religious affiliation are you? That's what they ask you. And I'll tell you that when I visit hospitals, I was just Saturday, right, Sissy? I got a phone call to go visit somebody that was dying. What was the hospital? Mercy McGee, I forgot. McGee Hospital. And when I go in there, one of the jobs of the chaplains is when we go, is we volunteer, then we go and we go into the chaplain's office. There's a little card deck. McGee's is pretty big. And inside the card decks, they have index cards. And what we do as volunteers, you know, we're there anyhow, so we'll do some visits, is you go through the index. And you pass the ones that say Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Assemblies of God. They're all in there. We don't go see those folks. But in the back of the file, you know, there's Roman Catholics. They have their own box. They're isolated, kind of like, you know, having a box. No, don't read into that now. Don't read into that, Glenn. I mean, they have a separate box. And I don't think that box knows the other box exists. Either. I'm not sure. But don't take that nowhere. And behind in the Protestant box, and way back in the back, there's a white index card that says Christian, and there's a bunch of names back there. And you open it up, and you look inside there, right? And it'll have John Doe. And you read it. It says, a religious affiliation, Christian, church, none, pastor, none. And you go to yourself, wait a second. So I had asked one day, I said, wait a second, how can they be Christian? And I was asking the senior chaplain down there, not there was a presbyter, I said, how can they be Christian and not have a church? He said, well, don't think it. Think about it. Surely you can think about that and come up with the answer. I went, oh. They get through the box, right? They get through the system. Are you Muslim? No, I'm not that. Roman Catholic? No, I'm not Catholic. Presbyterian? No. What's my other options? Christian? Yeah, that's it. Put it down. It's Christian by default. How many understand that? It's Christian by default. And so, I tell you that whatever percentage there are of people who say they are Christian, of the 300 million, we'll say it's 100 million. Of that 100 million, how many of that 100 million professing Christians can say they have an abundant life? Would we say it's 100%? 99.9? So what would that number be? What would that number be of that 100 million? Well, Leonard's putting up a big zero. Well, I debate him because I'm one, so at least that's... How many here say you have an abundant life? Okay, so there's some, but what is it? You would think if Jesus said, I have come so that you, who's the you in this equation? 100 million. I have come so that you, who's the you, Christians, in theory, would have what? An abundant life. So then 100 million Christians should say what? I have an abundant life. Because Jesus is not a liar. Right? Well, we all just said that no, not all of those 100 million professing Christians have an abundant life. So we got a problem. See, and I'm not the smartest person here. Sissy is by far. I know that. And I know, okay, well, we only have one of two possibilities. Jesus is a liar. That's a possibility because he said, I have come so that you would what? Have an abundant life. Right? Well, if these 100 million Christians have Jesus in them and they don't have an abundant life, that makes them what? A liar. Is that possible? Mm-mm. So that can't be the answer. So then you have to go to possibility two, is that they don't have Jesus Christ in them. That's the only other possibility. Right? So of the 100 million professing Christians who do not have an abundant life, what percentage of them do you think really don't have Christ in them? Could it be a large percentage? How many say it might be as much as half? Yes. Isn't that something? Two-thirds? We got $5, I'll tell them it's two-thirds. But there are people who do not have Jesus in them. Now, this is going to be an ouchie that I read. That's where I'm going with this. And you know where some of those people are? In mainline denominational churches. Ain't that something? Christ is not the focus. The worship is the focus. Did you know that? Sad, but it's true. Think about the churches we all came from. Was the Holy Spirit talked about a lot in those churches? Probably not. And so what's the problem? And so we have to explore what the problem is in great detail. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse.
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
All right. So, I know my Wednesday night Bible study has got the answer to this, I hope. I did a good job in teaching you. You should know the answer to this. Where is the kingdom of God? Okay, we got this. The kingdom of God is future tense. Where's that? And it's present tense. Where's that?
Here.
So it's here. And so this passage of Scripture says, unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he will never see the kingdom of God. Where?
Here.
And there. He won't see it. He won't see it. And so Jesus Christ said, behold, the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Right here. The kingdom of God is where the church dwells. And unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, you're not going to see it. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And I'll tell you what, when you miss the kingdom of God here, Phew. You have a sad life. You really do. I know people that are breathing and their heart's beating, but they're dead. Anybody know people like that? I mean, they are so dead. And I told you before, you know, Zig Ziglar, one of the greatest motivational speakers, at least I think, I took some classes from him, is that, you know, hardening of the attitudes causes stinking thinking. And if you have stinking thinking, you need to check up from your neck up. But yeah. The hardening of the attitudes is catchy. If you hang around with somebody that's negative all the time, negative, day in, day out, how many know you can rub off on you? Negativity is catchy. But so is in the opposite, too. You know, not a lot of people have lunch with me. I'm serious. I'm too full of joy for them. I don't know. I'm serious. In my office in McKeesport, Char, you know this, right? Char knows this. In my office in McKeesport, what do I have on the window? The upper room, right? It's the upper room. And it has beside that great big poster, in case you are wondering, yeah, I am one of born again, Bible thumping kind of guy. That's me. And some people come into my office and have lunch with me. And right outside of my door is a what, Char? That room is back there? The kitchen. There's room for like 20 people back there. But they come in, right, Sue? They come in my room, and I have a real tiny little office, right, with a little desk, and they're popping. Man, I can't take it in there. I can't take it in there. And they have lunch with me, don't they? And we pray, and we talk about Scripture, right? We do. And they don't invite me into the other room. So in fact, sometimes they go in and go, shh. I heard that. I do, right, Char? I heard that. But you know what? He heard it too. And I said to the whole room the other day, you know what I call you, don't I? Job security. And I walked out. So unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Where?
Here.
Which means you will not have a life that's full of joy. You will not have a life that has peace that surpasses understanding. You will not have a life that is abundant. You won't have it. Will your heart be beating? Yes. Will you be breathing? Well, of course. But you'll be singing that song instead of, you know, K-Love. You'll be singing, I-O, so off to work I go. That's what you'll be doing. And so we got to make sure that we have the love of Christ in us. So, how do we do that? Turn to Matthew 6:19.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal.
All right. The purpose of discipleship in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ is to teach us to have different goals. Goals that are not the same as the world. Now, I know that you all have goals. Everybody has them. Everybody has goals. And so my question to you, if I'd have passed out one of those, you know, write down your goals. They better take classes in order to have a goal. It must be written. It must be stated. You must review it, that kind of thing. You know, I've taken like bazillions of those kind of classes. You got to write it down. You got to look at it. You got to state it. You know, what is your goal? What is your goal? And I told you that the worldly goals of folks is to be wealthy. And that doesn't mean to be like 50 zillion billion dollars in the bank. It means to have enough money to be able to retire comfortably and all that kind of stuff. Everybody follow that? One of the goals is to be wealthy enough to be independent. How many understand that? And that might be your goal. The second goal is to have health and to be able to be healthy. And the third goal is to be popular or at least have some fame in this world. Recognition. Like when Lisa came in, she wanted recognition I gave it to her. I pulled that one off. But it's nice to have people know you, isn't it? It's nice. And people know that. That's why you have to put those little sticky things on, you know, your shirt when you go into a meeting, right? What do you put on your shirt? Your name. So people can say, oh, yes, I remember you, Ed. How many understand that kind of meeting? Bob, you know that. You know still thing, right? Oh, yes. Bob, how you doing? People love to hear their name. Did you know that? And they know this. This is psychology. They know that. People love to hear their names. They love to hear their first name, you know? And that's why they ask you, I know I'm going to get in some big litany, maybe you knew, but that's why, you know, they ask your name on a form if you're going to take like a meeting, and they say, well, what, how would you like to be called? Does everybody follow that? How would you like to be called? Like in my wife's name, she might fill out the form properly, Rosemary, but they say, but how would you like to be called? And it would be Sissy. So everybody has, you know, like yours might be Love Cups or something. I don't know, Eric. I don't know. I know. My mother calls me that, yeah. And so what Jesus teaches us is in order to have an abundant life is to have different goals. Is to not seek the things of the world. Not to seek the things of the world. You know, I am not a very good golfer, Sissy will tell you that. But I have golf clubs. And I went out golfing a couple of times with, you know, people who golf. Everybody understand this? I mean, I went with people that can golf. I did. And I attended some seminars, you know, and one of the things was, oh, you know, and we're going to have this seminar at this country club, and you're going to have this unbelievable lunch, and we're going to go out and hit some golf balls. Oh, yeah, that's great. And I got my golf balls. I found some golf balls, you know, and didn't have to put my tennies on. I don't have no golf spike things. And they are serious about that game. Me, I'm just yucking it up, you know. Bang, oh, well, I just put another ball down. You can't do that! What are you doing? Well, it's in the river. I don't want to go get it. And I heard some language out of some of these folks. And I was saying, hey, it's only a game. And the stare, well, to you, or to you, and you'll never play the game again. And I said, hey, this is not cool. This is not cool. Because people have different goals. Help me understand that. It's a game. Now let me explain this to you. You see, God created games to have fun. He gave a little boy and a little girl, here's a bat, here's a ball, go have some fun. Man said, hey, let's keep score. And the minute we kept score, guess what? The fun went away. Did you know that? The fun went away. And so we got to have different goals in life. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 6. We're going to read verse 20.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal.
How many of you used to have a 401k that's now a 201.5?
I'll never retire.
Right? It used to be Al 401. Now it's like a 20-something. But you know what? Like, I'm 61, and I'm moving up, right? I'm moving up that line. And, Sissy, do you and I talk much about that? No. Because why? God's going to take care of it. People say to me, well, you know, you get to be 66, you can take the Social Security. I said, I'm not going to worry about that. What do you mean? You paid into that. Well, that's true, but I'm not planning on retiring either. What do you mean you're not going to retire? Well, why would I want to do that? Why would I do that? Because. Well, why? Why? And what would you want me to do if I retired? Well, sit down. Okay. So I retire, and I sit down. And now what? Sissy, am I going to sit down? You would lose your mind, wouldn't you? Fact is, one of the reasons why I'm not going to retire is I had mentioned that to Sissy one time. She said, I'm going to work full time. And I thought, are you talking about we need money? She said, no. Why? I mean, if you're able to work, why would you not work? Why would you not? Because the world tells you that you should what? Sit down? No. No. We got to have different goals, right? Now, Social Security, that's going to be cool when I get it. Of course that'd be cool. But I'm not planning on it. I'm going to continue working. And, you know, when the Lord calls me home, I'm going to be praying for somebody, singing to somebody, preaching to somebody, healing on somebody, visiting somebody. I want to be doing that when the Lord calls me home, I want to be praying for somebody. Help me understand that. I mean, that's what I want to do. And so we got to have different goals. And so if your goal is storing up treasures on the earth in your bank account, you're not going to have too much of a good life. Because when the stock market goes, and you start reading that paper they send you, your life's not going to be very full. Is it? No. You start worrying about that stuff that you got in the bank. You start worrying about that, like fretting over day in, day out, day in, day out. How much of a life are you going to have? Not a very good one. Be worried about that. In Matthew 6, 25 to 33 says what? Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Why are you anxious about that stuff for? How many know that passage of Scripture? Consider the birds of the air, right? They do not sow or reap or store in the barns, but yet their heavenly Father still feeds them. And consider the lilies of the fields. Here today, gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire. I assure you that even Solomon in all his glory is not clothed as beautiful as one of these. I mean, why are you worrying about it for? You know, this is not in the Bible, but it should be. Kuna Matata. Do you know what that means? What? Kuna Matata. It's in the Lion King. Don't worry about it. Who by worrying can add one day to your span of life? Nobody. Can you? No. And so Jesus teaches us, in order to have an abundant life, set different goals for yourself. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Oh my, talk about inheritance like that, huh? Look at that inheritance. But who gets that? Does everybody get that? No. You're right. No, everybody doesn't get this. Who gets this? Why do we do? Because we're so darn good looking, we worship in Franklin Park?
We have the kingdom of God.
We have the kingdom of God. But not only that, we are joint heirs. Right? We're joint heirs. Guess what? I'm entitled to it. It's mine. If Sissy and I... Praise God if we ever did this. Go out and adopt a couple kids. And we adopt them into our family. And I died. My four children, well, Tommy got his already. The three remaining children plus the two adopted children. Would they share it equally?
Sure.
Yes! Because the other two are what? Adopted into the family. We are joint heirs. Now, I want you to think about it because you're disciples and you want to be able to grow and mature in your faith. And you have to understand this stuff. I want you to be able to get off the milk and sit at the table. Now, listen to me. She's my sister. We joint heirs, correct? I get whatever she gets and she gets whatever I get. Fair statement? Ed is my brother. And whatever Ed gets, I get. True? Now I want you to be thinking, but who else is my joint heir? Who?
Jesus
Christ. But sink it in. Jesus Christ. I am joint heirs with who? Christ. Whatever he gets, I get. Oh my God. Have you thought about that for just a second? Can you wrap that big concept in our little minds? Some smaller than others. I understand that mind. But think it through. Whatever Jesus gets, Lisa, guess what? I get. Can you fathom that for just a second? That when Jesus went into heaven and received what he received from his Father, I am a joint heir with him, which means that whatever he got, Ed, I got. Merry Christmas. Who wants to trade that? Nobody. And so, as you come into the Christmas season, and you start singing Christmas songs, some which are my favorites, dashing through the malls, presents in my sack, don't know what I'm going to do because my credit card's at the max. You've heard that song, haven't you, Al? And so we worry about this stuff. How many of you have ever said this to somebody who said, what would you like for Christmas? And you said, you know what? I don't need anything. Who's ever said that? Most of the time when we said that, we were just, you know, being polite. Because I really want some stuff. And how many know that when your wife says to you, well, I really don't want anything on Christmas? Oh, Ed.
It's a test.
But what we do as brothers and sisters, when we say we have all we need, guess what we should be talking about? That! And so what an opportunity for everybody in this room at the season of Christmas to do some ministering. I was at the a meeting the other day. I'm not going to tell you where because it's not important. But somebody was telling me how this person hates Christmas. I said, you hate Christmas? Oh, I hate Christmas. I'm in retail. I said, well, I can certainly... Oh, and look at... And see, Mickey's going... But you might not want to do that when I explain this to you. You see, what I told this person, I said, what do you mean? Well, I'm in retail. And... I sell carpeting and flooring and you know, I put stuff on and I got all these people that are coming in like crazy and they want to buy this and they want to buy that. I said, wait a second. Is you seeing more people now than you see all the other year? Well, of course I do. I said, well, aren't you one of them born again, Jesus free kind of people? He said, yeah. I said, oh, do you see the opportunity that you have? How many more opportunities do you have because more people are coming in your store? Less or more? Well, I never thought about it that way. Obviously. And so the more people that you have, the more opportunities you have to what? Mm-hmm. See, you got to think it differently. Your purpose in life is not to sell more potatoes. Whatever. Your purpose in life is not to sell more stuff. It's to sell more Jesus. And you know what? Maybe all of you may not have the opportunity to get up here. Why would you even want to? I don't even know. To come up here and preach a sermon? I don't know why you'd want to do it. But you can preach a sermon where you work. Can't you? You have a lot more opportunity. Well, the people were just... Hey, what I call them job security. Right? So you have it too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to spread your word. And the more people that are in front of us, the more opportunity we have to preach it. Yeah, this is a busy season, so let's get busy. You're right, Lord. This is a busy season, so we should get busy. Get busy what? Lord, hanging tinsel on the tree? Well, I suppose. Hanging some stockings, I suppose. But certainly the most important thing that we ought to get busy doing is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can do that not by what we say, but who we are. And we remember, Lord, the words of St. Francis of Assisi, who clearly said, go and preach the gospel. And if you have to, use some words. And all of God's people said,